Alma and I received word that Roy had arrived, a week earlier than we'd expected. The family was thrilled by his arrival, and had held off on a big feast only until Alma and I returned from safari. Bernard, who brought us the news, said that we were expected soon. He fidgeted as he spoke, as if every minute away from our eldest brother were a dereliction of duty. But Alma insisted on taking the time for a bath. "Don't worry," she said to Bernard. "Roy just likes to make everything seem so dramatic." Jane's apartment was in a hubbub when we arrived. In the kitchen, the women were cleaning collards and yams, chopping chicken, and stirring ugali. In the living room, younger children set the table or served sodas to the adults. And at the center of this rush sat Roy, his legs spread out in front of him, his arms flung along the back of the sofa, nodding with approval. He waved us over and offered us each a hug. Alma, who hadn't seen Roy since he moved to the States, stepped back to get a better look. "You've become so fat," she said.
"Fat, eh?" Roy laughed. "A man needs a man-sized appetite."
He turned towards the kitchen.
"Which reminds me, where's that other beer?"
No sooner had the words fallen from his mouth than Kazia came with a beer in hand, smiling happily.
"Betty," she said in English, "this is the eldest son, head of the family."
Another woman, who I'd never seen before, plump and heavy-breasted, with bright red lipstick, sidled up beside Roy and put her arm around him. Kazia's smile subsided, and she drifted back into the kitchen.
"Baby," the woman said to Roy, "do you have the cigarettes?"
"Yeah, hold on."
Roy patted his shirt pockets carefully.
"Have you met my brother, Barak?"
"Barak, this is Amy. You remember Alma?"
Roy found the cigarettes and lit one for Amy. Amy took a long drag and leaned forward toward Alma, exhaling round puffs of smoke as she spoke.
"Of course I remember Alma. How are you? Let me tell you, you look wonderful. And I like what you've done to your hair. Really, it's so natural."
Amy reached for Roy's bottle, and Roy went to the dinner table. He grabbed himself a plate and bent down to smell the steaming pots.
"Chapos!"
he exclaimed, dropping three chapatis onto his plate.
"Sukuma wiki!"
he shouted the collard greens, before spooning a heap onto his plate.
"Ugali!"
he hollered, cutting off two big wedges of cornmeal cake. Bernard and the children followed his every step, repeating Roy's words at a more tentative volume. Around the table, our aunts and Kazia beamed with satisfaction. It was the happiest I'd seen any of them since my arrival. After dinner, while Amy helped the aunts wash up, Roy sat between Alma and me and announced that he had come back with big plans. He was going to start an import-export company, he said, selling Kenyan curios in the States.
"Chondos, fabrics, wood carvings, these things are big over there. You sell them at festivals, art shows, specialty stores. I already bought some samples to take back with me."
"That's a great idea," Alma said. "Show me what you've got." Roy told Bernard to fetch several pink plastic bags from one of the bedrooms. Inside the bags were a few wood carvings, the sort of slick, mass-produced pieces that were sold at quick turnover to the tourists downtown. Alma turned them around in her hands with a doubtful expression on her face.
"How much did you pay for these?"
"Only 400 shillings each."
"So much. Brother, I think you've been cheated. Bernard, why'd you let him pay so much?"
Bernard shrugged. Roy looked a bit wounded.
"I told you these are just samples," he said as he folded the carvings back in the wrapping. "An investment, so I will know what the market wants. You can't make money unless you spend money, eh, Barak?"
"That's what they say." Roy's enthusiasm quickly returned.
"You see, once I know the market, then I will send orders back to Zaituni. We'll build the business up slowly, you see. Slowly. Then, when we have a regular system, Bernard and Abo can go work for the company. Hey, Bernard, you can work for me."
Bernard nodded vaguely. Alma studied her younger brother, then turned back to Roy.
"So what's the other big plan?"
Roy smiled.
"Amy," he said. "I'm going to marry her."
"What? How long has it been since you last saw her?"
2 years, 3 years, what does it matter?"
"You haven't had much time to think about it."
"She's an African woman. I know that. She understands me, not like these European women always arguing with the men."
Roy nodded emphatically, and then, as if he were being yanked by an invisible string, he jumped out of his seat and headed towards the kitchen. Taking Amy in one arm, he lifted his bottle of beer towards the ceiling.
"Listen, everybody. Now that we are here, we must have a toast to those who are not with us, and to a happy ending."
With solemn deliberation, He started to pour his beer onto the floor. At least half of the beer splashed on Alma's shoes.
Ah! Alma shouted, jumping back. What are you doing?
The ancestors must drink, Roy said cheerfully. It is the African way.
Alma grabbed a napkin to wipe the beer off her legs.
That's outdoors, Roy.
Not in somebody's house. I swear, sometimes you're so careless. Who will clean this up now? You?
Roy was about to answer when Jane rushed up with a rag in her hand.
Don't worry, she said, wiping up the floor. We are just happy to have this one home.
It had been decided that after dinner we would all go out dancing at a nearby club. As Alma and I headed down the stairs ahead of the others, I heard her muttering to herself in the darkness.
Oh, you Obama men, she said to me. You get away with anything. Have you noticed how they treat him? As far as they are concerned, he can do no wrong. Like this thing with Amy. This is just an idea that has popped into his head because he's lonely.
I have nothing against Amy, but she is as irresponsible as he is. When they're together, they make each other worse. My mom, Jane, Zaituni, they all know this. But will they say anything to him? No. Because they're so afraid to offend him, even if it's for his own good.
Alma opened the car door and looked back at the rest of the family. They had just emerged from the shadows of the apartment building, Roy's figure towering over the others like a tree, his arms spread out like branches over the shoulders of his aunts. The sight of him softened Alma's face just a bit.